Welcome to Rubber Band Live, the Australian recruitment and talent acquisition vodcast and podcast. I am Eden Haddock, your host and the creator of Rubber Band, the recruitment network for all. Let's go live.
PayJob, a powerful talent attraction and management system, creating positive experiences for candidates, hiring managers, and HR teams at every step of the hiring journey. From intelligent career sites to marketing automation and talent pipelining, PayJob will enable you and your team to put your best foot forward to attract and convert world-class talent. PayJob's powerful ATS will help you improve your recruiting efficiency, and their onboarding solution sets your team up for success from day one. PayJob, more than just an ATS. Head to payjobpeople.com to see how it all comes together.
Thank you to our sponsor, PayJob. Welcome, listeners, to today's episode of Rubber Band Live, which is Real Recruiters on the Tools with John Bowker. Now, before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that I live and work on, the Wadawurrung and Dja Dja Wurrung people. I recognise their continuing connection to the land and waterways. I pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging, and I would like to extend this to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Welcome all the way from sunny Perth, my friend, John Bowker. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, Eden. Thanks very much for having me.
It's not looking quite as sunny as it normally does in Perth, or are you just in a shady location?
A little bit of a shade location here, yeah. So, no, it's a nice sunny day out in Perth. Blue skies as usual.
Oh, fabulous. It's not too bad up here in regional Vic either. We've got blue skies today. Won't last long. We're getting the cold mornings already. I'm quite envious of you WA folk with your long summers and beachy lifestyle.
Yeah, we could do with a bit of rain. We haven't had rain for quite a while in Perth, so I think we're going for about sort of 30-odd days without any rain at the moment.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. Oh, well, pray for rain, right? That's a long time. Yeah. Well, look, mate, I'm really excited to catch up with you. I've known you for a long time now. It's probably getting close to a decade, I think, when I think about it. But I love that you're coming on from Perth. We haven't had a great amount of guests from Perth so far. So really keen to talk about what's going on over there and talk about what's going on with Lycopodium. And I think the really best place for us to start is maybe for you to talk about Lycopodium and also your team and your team structure and what your team focuses on.
Sure, yeah. So Lycopodium, we're an ASX-listed engineering consultancy in straightforward terms. Majority of our market is in the mining resources sector, and we work on predominantly designing the fixed plant sites for multiple projects across the globe. Predominantly all of the regions of the globe we operate in, and we've got offices across the globe as well. We're around about 1,300 people at the moment. A number of those will be sort of fixed-term contractors coming in and out of the business, but the core group are people office-based in our business. I head up the HR function globally for Lycopodium, coming out of the recruitment background and stream, and my team here at Lycopodium. I've got about sort of 16 to 20 or so, actually, when you add up some of the international staff that we've got over in Canada, South Africa, and the Philippines. It's climbing up to that number, made up of HR specialists, talent acquisition specialists, L&D, and mobility and corporate travel people. So that's the extent of the team. And in the talent acquisition space, which is what we're talking about today, I've got four specialists in the team here in Perth who focus predominantly on our Australian operations, and then the HR generalists who operate as recruiters over in the other global offices.
Amazing, mate. What a portfolio you've got. I actually had no idea it was so big. Is that a relatively new development, or have you had the core HR function for a little while now?
No, the core since I started, yeah. So wow. It's grown since I started. We had about five in the office here when I first started in Perth, and now we're up to about 14 or so at the moment. But and that's just because our numbers have grown dramatically. We had about 500 globally when I started a few years ago, and we're now 1,300. So, you know, it's getting bigger. The remit every day.
That's incredible. That's amazing. And congrats, John. It's you're the right man for the role. That's awesome.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Cheers.
Well, let's talk about your talent acquisition function. You mentioned you have four talent partners in the team that I assume partner very closely with your HR business partners. What are the talent partners really focused on for 2024? Like, what are the team's core focal areas?
Yeah, look, good question. Filling roles, number one, yeah. finding the unicorns in the market that are our engineering personnel. So they're in very much short supply. So that's pretty much their nonstop 24/7 focus. But look, we're working on some other initiatives. We started last year as sort of what we're calling a brand ambassador program, where we're promoting various kind of what we call lycopods in our business.
I love it.
Represent who we are as a business and our favorite sort of great employees. So we're working on some LinkedIn kind of material to be able to promote those individuals and improve our brand. But we're also probably the other really core focus for us at the moment is we're actually just sort of changing up our structure. So we've gone from having, you know, four TA specialists recruiting individually in different portfolios to having a talent acquisition team and a talent attraction and engagement team. So basically, you know, recruiting and sourcing side by side without having to increase that headcount. So we just naturally split the team in half. And over the sort of a few months, we've had that transition taking place where that attraction and engagement and sourcing team of pipelining, you know, talent for our business has started to progress towards that, and the acquisition and recruiting function is now supporting a broader portfolio and taking candidates through the recruitment process.
Fantastic. Well, I want to highlight as well that you're an award-winning, a HR award-winning team as well. So, again, congratulations. I remember picking it up for you, and then it took me ages to send it to you. So a high-performing team, I can understand. And, you know, you're talking, you know, what I can imagine would be a challenging market from an attraction perspective, which is great that you've rolled out this new model, right, to be able to address that. What do you perceive as being some of the major challenges for 2024?
Yeah, look, I think the number one challenge is the lack of supply of talent in our space. And I think anyone who's listening in the engineering sector and probably a whole vast variety of other sectors, but specifically in engineering, it's, you know, there's certainly a lack of supply of talent. There's a high demand, which is challenging, right? Because you not only need to have a great work environment that can attract people, but also retain people. But you're attracting them from a very small pool. We have gone international on a number of occasions and sponsored people through on visas, but again, that's a time intensive, you know, process intensive, cost intensive kind of process to go down. But yeah, it's really the, you know, trying to, come up with innovative ways that we can attract and secure the talent that we need, and that our clients ultimately need as well for the work that we need to perform. So that's probably the number one challenge on our minds at the moment.
Yeah, I can understand. When you're, I suppose, targeting that talent, and you know, you mentioned that it's a talent shortage, it can be difficult to source them. the really important thing there is to be able to talk to your company vision, your company purpose, and your company values. Tell me about Lycopodium and around your vision, purpose, and values. How do you explain that?
Yeah. Look, it's a really good point. One thing I'll mention right off the rank is that we are thinking about very closely how do we kind of position ourselves even better in the market, and maybe going through some form of EVP refresh at some point. But look, we're an engineering consultancy where we're very much sought after by a number of clients and companies in the market seeking us out because of our expertise and capability in being able to solve complex engineering problems. That's what we kind of pride ourselves in doing and specialize in. And it's not just in the mining resources sector. We've got other sectors on the East Coast in rail and infrastructure and in process industries. So our chemical manufacturing kind of process engineering space as well. So, And a number of other kind of up and coming areas such as energy and so forth. So there's a lot of challenges out there in the engineering sector and community. And Lycopodium likes to see ourselves at the forefront of that in terms of having some of the arguably smartest and most technically savvy engineers on the planet. And it's that level of expertise and the fact that we also kind of pride ourselves in being able to deliver projects on time and on budget. And that's a really big thing in our space because it's not just being able to achieve that for your client, but for the client's finances that are, the people that are backing those clients from a financing perspective really highly regard Lycopodium in the market in being able to largely deliver on time and on budget these complex multi-million-dollar mega projects. So that's probably the key thing there. It's probably then hard to translate that sometimes to a brand perspective. So I think translating that through, look, our values ultimately are, three defining values of respect, integrity, and diligence. We aim to promote that on our advertising material. When we go to market as well, we use some corporate video content as well to promote the business and sort of explain ourselves a little bit further in video format. But what we do find is that largely candidates who are in the sector, they know the market. They know what all the different engineering companies kind of stand for and what work they do. We find that we're fairly familiar to people that we approach, and they're familiar with us in terms of the work that we do. The work that we do is somewhat unique because we don't necessarily chase the sort of stock standard work. We do sort of pride ourselves in being able to do some of the really difficult, complex, challenging work that's out there. And I think the engineers that either want to work for Lycopodium or are attracted to work for Lycopodium like that complexity. I speak to engineers a lot, obviously, during the day, and a lot of them make that statement. They like to be challenged. They don't like to be doing the sort of boring, mundane stuff as an engineer. They really like to, rack their brain and be challenged with some complex problem that they may not have faced before, and then working with their peers and colleagues to be able to unlock and solve that problem is something that they kind of enjoy.
Well, that's awesome, because I can imagine in an ideal scenario, like having that really strong reputation for candidates to know that they'll be doing complex and interesting work and being able to, I suppose, be challenged. And that's really important. I know it's important to me when I look at opportunities. So do they already know that, or is that something that you need to explain to candidates as your unique selling point? Like, how do you kind of bring that to life?
Yeah, so We try to sort of bring it to life a little bit in our advertising and video content. We're a kind of a humble business as well, so we don't kind of, you know, overshoot the mark and shout our name from lights to this is kind of who we are type of thing. So for some time the business has flown under the radar a little bit, but we're coming out of our shell and starting to promote ourselves around this aspect a little bit more. But certainly when we get down to, you know, the screening process, our talent acquisition specialists here are brilliant. They know our business extremely well, and they're able to have those discussions with engineers because they're in that engineering recruitment sector. They know the language. They know what engineers enjoy and what they're passionate about. And quite often what I find is that they're able to extract that from the candidate in terms of, you know, simply asking the candidates, you know, what you know, drives them, what interests them, what areas of the market interest them, and trying to then line that up and match that up with you know, what we have to offer is something that they're quite good at, so.
Fantastic. So what are your pipeline, like what is your pipelining strategy? Like how do you tap into this market? How do you reach out to candidates in what is a tight market, right? With a unique skill set and also that you're striving for the best of the best because of the complexity of the work that they're doing. How do you find them?
Look, it's a challenge, that's for sure. But look, in terms of the strategy that we use, probably not so you know, different to other organisations. We've got accesses to you know, all the various LinkedIn tools, etc. We also use sort of another product called HireEasy, which is kind of similar to Intello and SeekOut and those sorts of platforms as well. So just sort of tapping into more and more candidates as much as we possibly can. And then, you know, our ATS CRM is LiveHire, so we've got a talent pooling functionality that's really quite good in that space that we're constantly mining, you know, the 80,000-plus profiles that we've got in our talent community that may have applied, you know, 6 months ago or 6 years ago we can map, you know, map out and tap into. So we're constantly looking at all types of avenues of candidates, and largely, you know, we're not reliant on reactive advertising responses. We do get that, so that that is a portion of where we source candidates from, but a fair decent, actually, one of our largest portions of sourcing candidates is either through referrals or through through direct headhunting and direct approaching candidates. And then obviously, you know, now with the new structure that we have in place, that sourcing team is accountable for and solely responsible for making sure that those talent pools are full of potential candidates and regularly communicated to. And so we're just building out those kind of message communications and doing that on a regular basis to keep that talent pipeline kind of fresh, up to date, and kind of ready to go as and when we need them.
And this is great, John. And it can be really hard to take that proactive approach when you're so busy. 100%. So how do you utilize the talent community capability that you have? Because I'm a big fan of it, and I know applications come into the talent community. Do you invite other, you know, potential talent in there and then bring them into the talent pools? Like, can you explain to the listeners how that works?
So basically, there'll be, as I said, 80,000 candidates, and we can track that at any time, how many there are. But there'll be candidates that are coming through direct advertising responses, but there'll be also be candidates joining our talent community, just generally speaking, because we regularly promote the talent community link that we have online through LinkedIn and through any kind of careers fairs or anywhere we go. We're regularly promoting the fact that it's not just about applying for positions, it's also registering your profile if you're interested in working for us. The recruitment team are then able to actively mine that entire talent community of 80,000 profiles, much like you do in LinkedIn Recruiter and other platforms, you can drill that down to sort of 50 or 100 profiles that match a particular skill set that you're looking for very, very quickly. Mm. Those candidates can easily then be mass contacted within seconds via email and SMS. We can also then assign those candidates directly into talent pools. So we've got the talent pool structure now set up. We're actively adding candidates into those talent pools from our own talent community. But we're also directly approaching them via LinkedIn if they're not in our talent community already. And we're finding them from either LinkedIn or HireEasy or other platforms. Then we can quite easily connect with them and then invite them to create their profile and attaching that profile to a talent pool. It's then the sourcing team's job to manage those talent pools, and they've got to actively manage them. They are in daily, every second of the day, kind of in contact with the recruiters on the recruitment side to understand what the vacancies look like. And then they're essentially just, sending those candidates from those talent pools into those vacancies and allowing the recruiters to immediately activate potential candidates without having to wait, you know, 3-4 weeks for an advertising response.
That's fantastic. And you talk about the nurture comms that you're sending out to those talent pools within the talent community. Does it all come out through that system via email and SMS, or is it, that's amazing. And do you measure the kind of engagement or the responses that you're getting, or, you know, how the nurture campaigns are going?
Yeah, absolutely. We can measure all of that. We've got all the analytics in the back end of the platform to measure the engagement, message reply rates, open rates, etc. But also we can break it down and measure it by individual user. So we can kind of see, are there successes, are there not, in certain individuals with their messaging, styles. But we also then sit down as a team and discuss whether the messaging profiles need to be sent out weekly, monthly, quarterly, depending on the talent and the talent pool and how often and regular they need to be communicated to. What we're kind of avoiding is trying to avoid that kind of automated aspect that's just like candidates can tell they're savvy these days when a robot's messaging them, it's just trying to make it a humanized approach. We have all of our individual recruiters, profiles and images and photos and contact details on all our messages. Via email and SMS works really well.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think people, you're right, like LinkedIn has become so robotic in terms of in-mails. I mean, I'm not in a space where I'm a difficult skill set to find for an opportunity, right? But I get in-mails from organisations. I also get in-mails from organisations trying to sell me things, right? And you can tell when they're not, they know nothing about me. They're standardized templates. And look, in all honesty, I just delete them now because there's so many of them. Yeah. And I think, being able to have it in your own ecosystem and being able to tailor and customize it to your audience, I mean, that's key to it because everyone's just flooding the in-mails and it's just really not effective.
Yeah, exactly. And the SMS works really well, because we can send out messages as well, not just via email, but SMS. And those SMS messages will have, the whole content kind of branded and loaded up into that link. But also being able to ask candidates even simply and quickly en masse what their availability is looking like coming up, because they are in the talent pool. We have pre-screened them. We are interested in them. Send us back a quick message as to your availability, and just getting that immediate text message response is really quick and efficient for us because we need to move at pace quite often. So we need rapid communication and not that kind of phone email delay that sometimes occurs.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned earlier you've rolled out a ambassador program to assist with sourcing and branding as well, which I think you called Lycopods. Is that right?
Yeah, our people are known as Lycopods.
Fantastic. Tell me about that. How did that all come about? How did you roll it out? What does it look like?
Oh, look, you know, it's nothing innovative and unique. It's probably something I didn't come up with the idea. I think I've seen it on a number of other employers using the same kind of method on LinkedIn to promote their employees and profile their employees and what they're doing. We're taking a little bit of an extra step in terms of preferring to promote them in a way of what do they do in their spare time type of thing as well. So a little bit more of an outside of work brand profiling kind of exercise, as opposed to, you know, this is Eden and he works at XYZ and does this job. You know, that's kind of a bit, we just wanted to do something a little bit, you know, a little bit of a twist on it. But yeah, so far we've done that now for the best part of the last year and profiled a number of our employees, and, you know, we get great response rates on it, you know, great interaction from our community on LinkedIn, from the people that follow Like a Podium, to employees and friends and colleagues. And, you know, ultimately, a lot of people in the industry are connected, and so if people are seeing this from other organisations, hopefully it sort of triggers another kind of a subconscious kind of response thing to go, oh, look, what are these guys doing, and what is this company up to at the moment? And ultimately, its purpose is to, you know, continue to build brand awareness and profile in the social community, increase our number of followers and increase the number of people that are ultimately then interested in maybe exploring potentially an opportunity with us.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we forget is the benefit that it brings to the employee that's being profiled. It's stepping them out of their box. It's that sense of pride in terms of the work that they're doing and the achievements that they've had and being able to celebrate their stories. It also has a really great impact on team engagement. Yeah. And there's the social aspect of it as well, that the entire organization are celebrating your story. And I think we forget about that. We use it for recruitment and recruitment marketing a lot, but the benefits that it brings to culture and engagement and celebration. And I think that's awesome. I love those programs too, John. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hopefully as well, it brings about a little bit of a thought in that individual's mind about recognition the people that are kind of ultimately, you know, put up and recommended for that type of program, you know, ultimately our global MD is approving of that list. So, if you're getting that level of, recognition, it's a positive thing. Not to say that no one else is recognized in the business, and that's the other little challenge as well. But look, ultimately, you know, you just aim to continue the program year on year on year, and recognizing and celebrating, you know, dozens and dozens more people, ultimately people will be hopefully recognized in that same way. But we've got a number of other kind of internal recognition programs as well that we don't need to go into. It's not TA focused, but, you know, we do a lot of internal recognition. We've just implemented Reward Gateway as another platform. We've got that branded internally as the Pod Life. A lot of good positive recognitions already flowing through that platform already.
Fantastic. Well, my final question for you, you've always got your eyes and your ears open. What do you think is the most innovative campaign or solution or program or technology or anything that you've observed in the market recently? Where's the innovation happening?
Yeah, geez, you put me on the spot there. it's one of those things where I thought, you know, it's hard to sort of think about something, and I'll be really, really blunt and honest with you. Difficult to sort of think about something that just jumps to mind immediately. Yeah. And when you think about that, I think about, well, that's a bit of a shame, because, you know, we all love innovation. We all love fantastic campaign solutions programs. Maybe my head's been in the sand for the past few years, and I haven't been able to get out from behind my desk to see what's happening out there. But I think that sort of it tells a bit of a story to me to say that, you know, I think we need more. We need more creativity in our sector. Some of us, no doubt, are probably constrained a bit by being perhaps too creative. But I reflect and I think about when I think about, you know, what's a great campaign or a great creative solution to something, my mind immediately reflects back to a lot of overseas stuff. You know, European countries and the UK, even the US, they come up with some really unique, interesting campaigns that grab your attention, smart, savvy, etc. I don't know what it is. You just don't see much of that in Australia. Maybe we're too conservative down here.
No, I've got a theory. I've got a theory. I'm going to be a little bit controversial, but I think it's because they do their own thing and they do what is right for their market and they set the standard. Now, we can do that, but unfortunately we're constantly told to look to Europe and the UK and to look to the US for innovation rather than being told to create and be creative and do something unique in our region. Now, I'm not saying it's not happening because it is, and I see some amazing work out there. But, you know, you see content on LinkedIn or there are events and it's all about what's happening overseas instead of kind of encouraging and nurturing innovation locally. Mm. And I think that's where the problem is. I think people just need to be bolder here. And yes, there is really cool stuff happening abroad, but let's do cool stuff here and not worry about what that is and do something that's uniquely us.
And well, what's one that you've seen?
And I've talked about it on this podcast. Like, I think Bunnings, the way Bunnings connect their customer to their employee and bring their EVP and their CVP together in such a beautiful way that feels so authentic and is so authentic, it doesn't feel bells and whistles, high budget. I think that's quite unique to us in Australia. I think
that's a good one.
That would be my one, and I've already mentioned it on this podcast because one of our other guests brought that up as well. But, you know, that would be uniquely Australian and something that I feel an international talent acquisition industry should be looking at and going, wow. So there's an example. But, I mean, there are loads out there, but we've, you know. We could talk for half an hour, and
and I think on that point as well. While I'm thinking about it, it's probably something that those industries that do have that customer as the primary kind of, you know, you look at retail and you look at you know, services, organizations direct to customer. You've certainly got a good ability there to be a bit more creative and unique. I think where it's more kind of business to business, you're probably a little bit, you know, a bit more conservative potentially in what you can do or what your employer might allow you to sort of do in terms of the creative kind of stuff. But I think there's certainly room for you know, other companies to emulate the likes of Bunnings moving forward. I think generally speaking, the European and US kind of markets, they do come up with some quite innovative campaigns that do grab your attention. And it'd be great for more Australian companies to do that.
Agreed. Well, John, it has been an absolute pleasure catching up.
Likewise.
We'll be catching up in person again soon. So hopefully I'll see you in Melbourne or you'll see me in Perth. But you have an amazing afternoon. It's been awesome catching up with you. And
congratulations
on all the work that you're doing.
Now, thanks very much. And thanks for the opportunity. And appreciate all the work you're doing as well, Eden, with the rubber band initiative. So well done.
Oh, you're very kind. Thanks, John. Take care.
Cheers.
Pay job. A powerful talent attraction and management system, creating positive experiences for candidates, hiring managers, and HR teams at every step of the hiring journey. From intelligent career sites to marketing automation and talent pipelining, PageUp will enable you and your team to put your best foot forward to attract and convert world-class talent. PageUp's powerful ATS will help you improve your recruiting efficiency, and their onboarding solution sets your team up for success from day one. PageUp, more than just an ATS. Head to pageuppeople.com to see how it all comes together.